day and my weird experiences. So we want to take it someplace else?
No,
sure.
I'm not demonic.
Where do you want to go?
I can't go into politics.
No.
No.
We're church. We're not allowed.
Yep.
It's against the law.
No politics.
It really is against the law.
You got any good questions?
Send me off to jail. Yeah.
So if you're trying to see somebody's or people's auras, is there anything you can do to like help that process? I mean, other than
the best place I have ever found to see people's auras at an airport. Fluorescent lighting.
Okay. I see better.
It really works well. And you can even see the attachments to them. You know, like people that are, spirits that are attached to them, because they always attach right back here, the base of the skull. And you can see people that are kind of like this, and you see those humps of darkish energy within their aura. Those are attachments.
When I first started trying to view auras, I actually started with the forest treetops.
That's
not. For some reason, for me, that was the easiest. They were easier to see than humans. And once I was able to do that, you got to look kind of past them and just kind of let your eyes relax. Then I moved on to humans after that.
You know how the light is above the trees? That's a little lighter than the sky itself. That's their aura.
Yeah, I never knew I was seeing it. Yeah, what it was when I saw it.
Most people see it because it's so strong. If you really want to see somebody, you want to make sure there's not a lot of busyness behind them. You really want like white or gray or blue or whatever, solid. And then you look past them, not at them directly, but past them. And when you look past them, you'll see a light around their body.
Can you see hers?
I can when you're up against the vertical blinds, oddly enough, because it's not solid. It's like broke up, but I didn't, and then you did like that, you know, and then I could see it. It's like it moves, but I don't know if that would be anybody standing in front of it or if it's just you or...
Any human.
Mm-hmm. Hers is brighter.
Now, you have to be human. It helps. I mean, animals have auras too, but like this chair, you shouldn't see its aura against this. But anyone that would be sitting here, you should be able to see their aura just like you can see mine.
Really?
But yours doesn't have
I see furniture's
to
aura too. I see all
the colors.
Yeah, I do.
You don't always
see ceiling fans.
I want to see colors. Like, I want to see this.
Some people can, some people can't. I think it's practice. You have to practice. And understand the colors are really pale. They're very pale. They're not dramatic.
So it's not like they're walking around with a rainbow of starburst.
Yeah, but sometimes when I see them, sometimes, and I'm not even thinking about it, and somebody will just be standing there, and I look over at them, and it's there, and I see the color then. But I don't always.
I don't see color.
I feel me neither.
Usually, if I'm actually trying to see it,
I think if you need to see it, you'll see it. I've seen it spontaneously when I wasn't looking for auras. You can practice too much seeing auras, and it's like this one guy said, he practiced seeing auras on a regular, he was a minister, and he'd look out at his
on the congregation,
and he got to the point where he didn't want to see auras anymore, because he could,
didn't like what he was seeing.
He didn't like what he was seeing, yeah. So
it's interesting to look at a funeral too, to look at auras at a funeral.
Yeah, they're usually
it's
not
really
broken.
Fun to do.
Well, that's what's interesting, because some are real small and then some aren't.
I try it. I will tell you this. Looking at auras, learning to see auras can save your life. And I think children, one of the first things that should be taught to children is how to see auras and what auras, what the colors mean. Because it could save their lives. That's just it's a truth.
Are you saying as in evil people? Or?
Yes. People that would hurt them.
You said before that, like, when people don't have an aura or it's kind of dark around that they're probably going to die.
A line. There's actually a line that separates the aura from the body with a black line.
You know, almost like a pencil line? It's been
like black, solid black line.
So it's the person, the line, and then the aura.
Yes.
Sort of like cut off from the field.
That means they're getting ready to die. And there still can be change. Although I've seen people without auras who are going to die, and they changed everything about their life, and they made a decision they wanted to live, and the aura came back. So, and when the aura goes out, they look dusky. Their whole light goes out. The aura is your light. And when it goes away, it just goes dusky, like they went out and got an overnight, really crappy tan.
Kind of like a gray color.
Yeah, but it's a dusky. There's no light. When light hits people, it shows on their cheekbones and maybe their chin, their nose. It doesn't even show. They look flat.
They absorb it. They don't reflect it.
They don't, yeah. Yeah, it's weird. And that's usually about 24 hours to 48 hours, up to 72 hours before they die.
We had a lady at school that did that. We knew.
Yeah, and it's not really a gift. Anyone can really do it. You just have to practice.
Well, I mean, I didn't practice that, but you just, knew it. I mean, you just saw it and you knew it.
Yeah, it comes with the territory of being a human. Animals do it too. But a lot of people have shut it down because of belief systems, religious belief systems, society, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we negate our intuitive.
Yeah. We start negating everything about the age of 6. Which is a real shame. Mm-hmm. Up until then, we were like wide open.
Yeah, 6 is the programming level. What happens when people get sick? What does it look like?
What do you mean?
The aura, what does it look like when they get sick? Like they have
the aura, it's not fluffy, it's not, it comes, it's more closed in.
Does it change color or anything?
Not especially.
It's not energetic?
Well, yeah, it's all energetic.
Well, I mean, it's less energetic if they're sick.
Right, they have less energy. Now, if there's an injury, it actually makes a break in the aura. And drugs can make a break in the aura. Which is wild. I had an injury to my head, and I had several people tell me that I had, like, a piece of my aura was gone. Until it healed up, and then it was fine again. Cancer makes a break in the aura. It's a small break, but it makes a break. Certain diseases will make breaks in the aura.
Where it is located.
Yeah. It'll go right to the place where it is. Which is kind of interesting. Of course, cancer also has a scent to it. That's why animals can pick up on cancer.
That's weird.
And certain cancers have specifics, like lung cancer, intestinal cancers smell like cigars, old cigars. I can smell it.
Really?
Yeah. Animals can smell it. I had a guy one time that came in, I hadn't seen for a long time, and he had just gone through cancer. Cure, and he thought he was cured. I smelled the cancer. I didn't say anything to him.
Do you smell it just like around him or?
Mm-hmm. For you specifically, does the person have to be physically present for you to smell it, or if you just touch into them, could you smell it?
No.
A photograph? They have to be physically present.
It has to me it has a physical scent.
Mm-hmm.
Death has a physical scent.
Mm-hmm. I remember when you pulled that box out from one of your murder cases.
Yeah.
I had no clue.
It smells like ozone.
Uh-huh. Like those things, the machines that they used to have.
Ionizers.
Yeah, the ionizer.
Okay. It's weird. This lady handed me this hat, and she wanted to know if her friend was alive or dead. There was no question. I mean, she was dead. I smelled the ozone smell on the hat.
And it doesn't have to be what they were wearing when they died.
No, but it has to be around them, present around them when they pass. Their passing leaves that scent. So it can be the furniture in the room where they died. The hat was present in the room when she died. We didn't know that at the time.
Would there be a way to clear that scent?
I don't know. I never tried. I would think so. You can clear anything.
Salt.
Except for maybe stone.
Eventually.
You did a case that quite a long time ago of a cheerleader with Cheer Central. He was from Benton, and he was on his motorcycle, and they couldn't find him. And you went out and found where he was. Yeah. My daughter was a cheerleader with her.
I've worked on so many more. Hundreds.
I know.
Hundreds.
It's a long time ago, but I remember.
It's gotten so bad that I don't remember them to speak of. Isn't that awful?
No.
But you would recognize their energy.
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I've gotten to where I have a hard time recognizing faces. I just go for the energy. So if I ever come into a... It's wild. I was telling Carol, I said, I'm people have come to see me and I don't recognize them. She says, well, you've always been like that. Oh, really?
Yeah, I came years and years ago, like 2 or 3 times. Yeah, it's been a long time.
I remember you.
Yeah.
See, there you go.
You don't have to remember me, but that's nice. It has been that long, I wouldn't remember you.
I don't remember what the information or anything is, which is good. Unless I touch into you again. Yeah.
It was good. It was a good experience.
Okay.
You usually don't remember right afterwards.
No, what I try to do is when I do my readings, if there's something that's really important, I'll tell Carol. But I do my best to pretty much forget. I don't take any of it home with me. Whatever's said in that room pretty much stays in that room. Unless there's something there that is important that I don't want to forget. And it's not about the person, it may be information. It's usually information. If that makes any sense. Because I get lots of information when I'm working with people. Because their guides and my guides come in and they give me good stuff. And sometimes I forget it if I don't get it down or tell her or something. Like I was counseling her husband and he was having, what was that? Acid reflux. It was waking him up in the middle of the night. And my guides came through, and I didn't remember saying anything to him. And they told him that he was having deadlines, and that he was doing deadlines, and it was causing the acid reflux. And he had to let go of all these deadlines. And he worked insurance. And he told Carol, because they told him that I wouldn't remember what it was that came through.
We have to let go. You couldn't keep on.
Oh, I couldn't. No.
You'd be...
No, I'd be like this poor psychiatrist that shoot themselves or something.
Right.
No, it's gone. I don't take their troubles home with me at all. I'm really good about that. I used to, years ago. And I realized that it didn't help them. If it doesn't serve a purpose, why continue doing it? I don't do it anymore. By the way, Kathleen, my foot does feel better. Thank you.
You're welcome.
She did some Reiki on my foot. It started hurting. Something triggered when I was talking. and my foot started giving me a, started causing a lot of pain. And I could barely walk to the couch.
You didn't find out the root?
Well, yeah, she did tap it.
Yeah, okay. I did some tapping.
Okay.
The foot is fear of moving forward, kind of like the hip.
Right, yeah.
And my dog, they found some cancerous tumors on his foot.
Cody.
His right yeah. foot.
Oh.
And so I've got to have surgery for him Wednesday. And apparently, when we were talking about all this stuff with the dementia and all that, it triggered and off it went. Yes, stuff can trigger all sorts of pain and injuries and diseases in your body. It's unreal.
In Louise's book, she says that heartburn is fear.
Yeah, it is.
As fast as you can. Right.
Different from acid reflux, then.
Acid reflux is timelines.
Okay.
Timelines, deadlines.
But heartburn is fear.
Or electric shock therapy. I just give it all up, you know? Right. I'm out. I didn't commit suicide. I just wiped my brain. No more
That's
feelings for
dementia.
Me.
Let's go with dementia.
No. I'm self-induced.
Any other questions? Any other areas that you want to go into?
Illnesses as lessons, like how much of that do we choose? Because of a lesson that we need?
Illnesses, pain, is our body's way of saying, hey, stop. Look, there's something going on that you're not paying attention to. That's why you look at the areas of your body to see what the root causes are. That's why her book is so good, because it gives an idea of what you need to be looking for as a root to find out what your specific problem is. And with foot and hip, low back pain, fear of finances, loss of finances, wrist, freedom of movement, moving in life. There's also, and if you pay attention to those things, you can work them through, and then you can tap it out, and it goes away. I had one point with my foot, same foot too, and it hurt so bad I couldn't put my foot to the floor. It sent a splintering, sharp pain through my entire foot and ankle and into my leg. A psychological, spiritual. Worked it through. It was fine. Till tonight.
Mm-hmm. I have a little off-topic question. On your guardian angel, can we ask them their names?
You can. They may or may not give it to you.
How, with us not being able to hear like you can hear them, what would be the best way for them to communicate that name
to
us?
There's
another way. Okay.
You'll have to hear it in your head.
Okay.
You won't hear it outside your head. You'll hear it in your head.
Right. But they couldn't show us like in a book or something like that?
Not to my knowledge. You can try it. Let me know how it works.
I mean,
seriously.
And there'll be angelic names like...
No.
No? They won't be?
No, not necessarily.
I mean, it could be like a Stanley or...
Yeah, it could be.
Bert.
Yeah. Steve. A lot of times it's like Daniel or sort of old...
Like a biblical name?
Yeah, along the lines. Isaac, more biblical. Because they seem to like the biblical names.
I had one dream once where I think I was thinking about that name. I don't know if it was angel or spirit guide. I had a dream where they rolled a sheet out the window of my dad's church. And it said, you know, Nevin on it, N-E-V-O-N, which I'd never really heard that name before. I looked up the meaning and it meant little saint, but I don't know. You know, it was just interesting. It was kind of funny because it was almost in a way like, we know you don't listen well, so here.
That works.
It was just funny.
Dictionary of Angels, there's all these different angelic names in there. You might want to look in there and see.
That's a pretty good book. I got it.
It really is a good book. it's been the most accurate according to my guides.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a combination from all over the world of information.
It's a lot of
so it. I see you have essential oils. So do you believe white angelica and those are important?
Those are flower essences. I don't do essential oils.
You don't? Okay.
I'm not that knowledgeable. I know essential oils work.
I did.
Do they work with the angelics?
You need to get that one.
Not to my knowledge.
The relationship.
There's only one oil that can be used that will stop the dark side dead in its tracks, and that's sandalwood.
Okay.
I know that for a fact. Or a sandalwood incense. They hate sandalwood. They absolutely hate it.
Okay.
But other oils, I haven't found, my guides have not said anything.
Okay.
And if man says it, you can probably bet they're wrong. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I just, when you are talking about angels and people, yeah, I just wonder.
And I think people have such a misconceptions about angels. I have a lot of people that believe that their relatives are their guardian angel and have turned into angels.
Is that true?
Pardon?
Is it true?
No.
I think it was.
Angels are a specific species. They are not man. They can appear as a man or a woman, but they are a species. We cannot become angels, nor can we become demons.
Do you think that they are actually walking around in human form?
Yes, they have been. I've seen it. It's happened to me twice.
Do they
more
have
than twice.
Do they have like a different kind of glow to them? Anything that would give you a clue that they are who they are and not what they are portrayed?
No.
They have to wear really big coats to cover their wings.
I think I found one.
Okay.
You can't feel it with a touch.
No. When I've met a couple of angels. Two of them came to me as clients. Two. They didn't look any different than anybody else. They didn't glow. They didn't do anything. But I had a weird feeling about them. Weird enough that I said, "Are you an angel?" And they said, "Yes." And they began to, both times, they told me what my future was going to be with this center and in the work that I was doing and what the future was going to be bringing to me and what to look out for and what to be careful of. And they said that I was doing God's work. And they both paid me.
So they're like, I mean, there's just so, I don't know what to tell you about the experience, but there's, I don't have a definition for it, but I think I found one. And it's absolutely amazing.
You don't
amazing.
Find them. They find you.
He found me.
Okay.
He did.
Yeah.
And it's out of my realm. But I just, we crossed, and I thought,
Did he have a message for you?
Yeah, he did.
Then don't worry about
and
it.
And I thought, you know what? There's something about you.
You could have asked. They have to tell you the truth.
I didn't think of that. I just thought that there was just something kind of different. Wasn't it a bad way? It was just kind of, there you go. And I was like, you know, that had to be one of those things. And yes, he was wearing a coat. It was cold. But I did a double take. I was like, really? I gotta not be so open.
Okay.
Yeah, it's totally amazing. I'll take a picture every one day.
Okay.
You just didn't, I don't know, I've had odd things happening and I've really been open, like going through the water and, you know, I mean, we're getting ready to do a investigation up at Boonville and I'm really kind of scared that some of the people that are going to be jumped.
You might get jumped too.
I hope to put a protection around myself before I leave.
Okay.
Or maybe you can. We're going to be there all night.
No, if you're going to open yourself up to it, you get opened up to it.
Really, once you, well, see, Rhonda said, once you're in this little area, you're pretty much okay. But once you step over the threshold, you're in another world.
Well, all I can tell you is once you open up to it, you open up to it.
Okay.
I suggest you take the lifting, and yeah. I suggest you do the lifting after. There's no protecting you.
Okay.
You might want to wear a cross. That would be a good idea.
Yeah. There's like 19 people going.
That don't help.
Well, I mean, I'd probably break off into teams or something.
That doesn't help. It doesn't mean a thing.
I'm just saying.
Okay, so what, is it a haunted place? I mean, I can't just sit there in my curiosity.
Yeah, Boonville Sanatorium. Boonville, yeah. Arkansas.
All right, thank you.
Enough said, huh, Kathleen?
Yeah. Well, I'm a complete chicken. I'll watch it on TV, but I wouldn't. I mean, you know, lights go out, and I'm like, all right, I'm out.
You know, see, Rhonda, she's got all that equipment, and
I would not do it by myself.
It's pretty interesting. I think I'm going to give it a go.
Okay.
Probably come back as a totally different person possessed.
Yeah, I have enough with the lobotomies.
Go there and get my lobotomy.
It's dangerous. It's really dangerous. There was that guy that they were telling me that he did the show. It was a ghost-busting thing where he got out there and he challenged demons and all that sort of thing. It was on TV. And he went home and killed himself and his family. Slaughtered him.
Yeah, I won't be doing that.
You never planned it. Like, you said the same thing, right?
You even say that, like going, walking around cemeteries and stuff is not a good thing.
It's not a good idea. Especially the fact that you're knowledgeable, because that makes it even worse. If you're not knowledgeable, you kind of have a natural protection around you from God. But if you go doing this, knowing that you're putting yourself at risk, you're putting yourself at risk.
So would these decoration days be putting a lot of people at greater
no.
risk? Oh, okay.
No, but it puts them at risk.
Okay. Yeah.
What days?
Makes sense.
Decoration Day is coming
like
up this weekend.
Funeral. When you go into a cemetery, the best thing you can do is do the lifting afterwards.
I used to like to read the tombs.
Yeah. I did too. Yeah.
But now that you've said this, like I'm riding my bike by some tombs.
Well, see, I was always drawn to cemeteries. I was drawn to all of that stuff. You know, I was in a learning process. And that's all well and good because you get these experiences that give you lessons. I can't do that.
Now that you know.
Yeah, because I walk out there, I'm going to get myself knowingly into trouble. Mm-hmm. So no, I don't play with the low energies. And that's what that is. That's fourth dimensional low energy. Mm-hmm. And you're playing in with the dark side.
So what would you tell a young, very interested person in like ghost busting, and they've always been fascinated with it and they just suit way beyond interested, but like, you know, what's your best advice for that? Be careful.
They're playing with some real dangerous stuff. See, the thing is, there aren't just, they're people. Those spirits aren't ghosts. They're not woo-woo. They are people. And some of those people are evil on their own without even the dark side. Some of those people are murderers, vicious, and dangerous. And they're looking for a way to take over somebody's body so they can carry on in what they were doing before. Some of them are suicides, and they can be very, very compelling. It depends upon how open you are. If you're open enough, they can actually possess you and take you over. So it's a very dangerous hobby to play with. And I played with it because I didn't have anybody to teach me any better. I went out and I got tapes. I took my tape recorder out there and I got tapes of people pleading for help. Men, women, and children begging for help on the tape. I finally, slowly but surely, learned how dangerous it actually, I was really protected because I was in a learning process. I finally learned how really dangerous it was with the demonic situation. I don't mess with it. I stay in high energy always. I don't play in it. And they need to find out, and it may be to their, it could become extremely dangerous for them to teach them the lesson. I would do the lifting on them, let them know what it feels like. They've got stuff on them. That's why they're being compelled. Have you got a lifting? Can you do a lifting on them?
We're going to tonight.
Okay.
So,
do the lifting on them. And tell them that's what they're playing with. Because they can kill you. It's not just playing. It's not just a hobby. This can get serious. And people don't know it. They go, oh, I'm going to go ghost busting.
So, how do you feel about the young children today? Because there's so much depression, and I teach school. And so there's so many kids coming in with angry faces and depression and in elementary school.
Hey, that's always gone on.
It looks worse than it's ever been.
That's because you see it on TV. That's because now we get to see what's going on around the world, or what appears to be going on around the world. And it's always been like that. I grew up in it. I grew up being bullied.
We all did.
Sure, it's always been there. It's more put out there now, and it's encouraged, which is really bad. So no, I don't like it at all. But I also know that this place is a gigantic school, and we're here to learn, and we can't do it in heaven, so we're stuck here, and we got to do it here. And so get as much out of it as you possibly can, and get as much good as you can, and try to remember that this is a place of learning, and you can make it as easy for yourself or as difficult
as you look at me.
To make it.
That book I was telling you about, that man said, the one that book I was talking about, he said, because people ask him, why would we come here, you know, but he said something interesting. He said they tell him that, you know, one trauma here on Earth can teach you more than 5,000 lifetimes on a peaceful planet, you know.
That's true.
And it was just, and he said that several times throughout the book, and I thought, you know, that was just so interesting. One trauma.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Can teach you more than 5,000 peaceful lifetimes. That's,
you can't learn in heaven. I mean, you can learn, you can do spiritual, you can learn spiritual knowledge.
Knowledge.
But you can't apply it.
Right.
And if you can't apply it, you can't really learn. It's only words. So this is a place. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I don't dream very often, and when I do, normally it's something that really happens sooner or later. I currently recently moved out of my dad's house and with my mom back in October, and he has back degenerative disease.
Oh yeah.
And it's gotten real bad. And in the summertime, on his good days, he has a motorcycle, but and he'll go ride.
Yeah.
These last few weeks, I've been having dreams of him getting on his motorcycle, and he has a wreck, and it kills him. And I've thought about telling him that, and like for him just to be careful. But at the same time, I don't want to freak him out.
In your dream, do you remember what he had on?
He had on it's like a red t-shirt, and it has an eagle on the back of it, and it says Harley Davidson.
Get rid of the t-shirt. Get rid of the t-shirt. It'll stop the accident from happening and killing him. He may have the accident, but it won't be as bad. If you change an aspect of the dream, it will change the outcome of the dream. All right? So you get rid of it, or hold it, hang on to it for a period of time.
Yeah.
Because there's a period of time there. You're probably looking at about 2 months.
Yeah.
So just tell him you want it or go get it or whatever you have to do, but hide get the t-shirt.
It's a warning. Is that what you were asking?
Me and him, we don't get along very well, but I love him, you know, he's my dad. I don't want anything bad to happen to him like that, and so.
That's what you can do.
Okay.
And if you warn him, it won't do that. You can warn him too.
Yeah.
Because that's a responsibility there.
Yeah.
And tell him do not wear any red t-shirts. Especially not that one.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Good girl. Okay, we're going to shut her down.